Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I'm sitting here with...
Hey, I'm Tom Regan.
Tom Regan, and we also have a very special guest with us, as we have for the past several weeks. Very special guest. What's your name?
I'm Chrissy Wesley.
Chrissy, it is so great to have you on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited for this conversation. We're in the middle of a series that we've called The Word of Their Testimony. What's that from, Tom?
Yeah, we get that out of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Talks about the adversary, Satan, who accuses brothers and sisters in Christ every day before the throne of God, and says they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point of death.
Man, that's cool.
There's power in our stories and the stories, our testimonies, and what God has done in our life. And so we're excited to have Chrissy here with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So the whole point here is we're just listening to what the Lord has done in the lives of people at our church, how they have come to know him, and then what has happened in their lives since that, and what they've been called to do. So today we get to hear Chrissy's story. So I'm very excited. So Chrissy, who are you? Where are you from?
Who am I? Yes. Well, my husband and I live in Everett, Washington, and I'll tell you about my story, about my walk with Jesus.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Well, I met Jesus because of a milkshake.
This is an interesting start to a story.
Yes, it is. I will back up to when I was a child to kind of tell you what my life was like. My mom and dad got married early, and they had my brother and I a year apart. Nobody wanted us.
Oh, man.
My dad had his back broke when he was 21, and he had three more back operations, and by 25, he no longer could work, and he was in a bed the rest of his life. Mm. I was 8 years old at that time. My mom went to work at the Bond. She'd come home at 10 o'clock at night, so I started cooking at 8 years old. Mm. At six, I'd walk to school a mile every day at 6 years old, scared. But it really didn't matter because I didn't want to be alive anyway. Hmm. There was no love in our house. My mom and dad had never said they loved me or my brother. My brother lived in a dark upstairs attic, no bed, just a small bed, no heat or anything. Hmm. And I lived in a room with no heat or anything. And we weren't allowed to talk. We were hungry, living on a minimum wage from my mom working at the Bond. So a lot of physical abuse daily in the house. And so my best favorite thing ever was when I went to bed at night. It was the best. Mm. I could go to bed, grab my pillow, and cry myself to sleep and just keep saying, I want to die, I want to die. And that was the best thing ever.
That's what you thought as an eight-year-old?
Oh, yes.
Man. Going to sleep every night?
Mm. Yeah. Sorry. If I just wanted to cry myself until I hopefully would die.
Man. Was it like that from as far as you can remember? Was it just after your dad's accident?
No, as far as I could remember, because especially I wasn't wanted. And in school, I said my first words in second grade.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And I said to the teacher, could I go to the bathroom? And that was my report card said she talked for the first time. I never talked in school again until I was 15.
Man.
We didn't talk at home. Nothing was funny. God wasn't around. And of course, Christmas meant nothing because no Jesus, no presents. Mm-hmm. We were lucky to have one hot dog to split. A night, I cooked a potato because my mom worked till 10. So I learned at 8 to cook a potato, divide it up, and my dad, my brother, and I would share a potato and a hot dog. Mm. And that was our one meal of the day. And life was, that being hungry all the time wasn't so bad. It was that nobody had ever said they loved me. Nobody had patted me on the head, mm-hmm. had held me, not once. Same with my brother. So there was no such thing as love, and I didn't even know what it was about. And so this went on till I was about 15. Same thing. Nothing ever changed. Kept crying. Kept wanting to die. Well, I met two girls, and they're my friends today, 50 years later. We're still friends. And so my one girlfriend, she, after about 6 months, asked me to go to a youth group meeting. I didn't want to do that. But she said there was cookies. And believe it or not, I mean, I had not had, unless I was at someone's house, I'd never had a cookie.
Yeah.
And so when she said there's cookies, I was, okay, I'm all in for this. So I went. He talked, the youth pastor talked, but I had my eyes on the cookies. But then he said, whoever can say all the books of the Bible in 1 minute, next week I'm going to give them a milkshake. That caught my attention. I mean, it did. And so he gave me a Bible. I went home with my Bible. Didn't mean anything to me except it was going to give me
a
milkshake.
Yeah, it was a milkshake, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I was going to get that milkshake. So I started practicing, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and you have to say them that fast.
Yeah.
And by next week, I was ready for my milkshake. So I went in there, and sure enough, he asked if anybody knew. Well, I wasn't going to open my mouth, and so I jabbed my girlfriend, and she said she knows the books. So I said the books of the Bible in 57 seconds, and he said, we'll take you out for a milkshake after. So he took my girlfriend Marcia and I out for a milkshake, and it was the best milkshake I'd ever had because I'd never had one before. And so we sat there probably an hour talking. He asked me where I met Jesus, and I looked at him and I said, I haven't met Jesus. I haven't met anybody. And I said, nobody cares about me. And I said, and I don't care about anybody. And that was really about the answer. I always told myself, be a rock and feel nothing, is what I would say every day to myself. Feel nothing, because no one will ever love you anyway. So then we broke up, went home. Well, Marcia invited me the next week and told me there's going to be cookies. So I went back for the cookies. I didn't go back for anything but the cookies.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, the youth pastor had listened to my story for that 1 hour having our milkshake. And wouldn't you know, for the next hour and a half, he talked about who Jesus was and how you could have Jesus in your heart. For about an hour, I literally sat there crying myself silly. And all these kids were so sweet. They were around me and they were holding me, and I cried myself to pieces. I guess I thought I didn't have any more.
Did you, sorry, question for you. Did you feel when he was, why were you crying when he was talking to you about Jesus?
Because he said that Jesus would care for me, love me, I'd never be alone. And
that had just been, your life had been, you know, no care, and you'd been alone, right?
Nobody, I mean, I felt nothing. I felt nothing for anyone.
So this was coming to you as good news then?
It was the best news on the face of the earth. And because at that time, I was going to commit suicide. It was the best way, because I had been crying for 15 years. Well, not 15, but 10 years I'd been crying, hoping I wouldn't wake up the next day. So I finally decided, time to take things into my own hands. And, you know, my idea was to go out and swim into the ocean and sound and just keep on going. And so when he talked about Jesus and that I could, he would love me, he would accept me for who I was, he would never leave me, I wouldn't be alone. And he said, but it doesn't mean your life's going to be all fun. And I said, fun? I don't even know what the word fun means. He said, but it's going to be rocky, but you're going to find that Jesus is going to be there and walk you through life. He's going to be your best friend. You're going to love him, and he's going to love you more than you ever thought you could be loved. I went home that night, and I didn't cry when I went to bed. And I never cried my pillow after that. And
would you say at that point you were believing in Jesus? You were
yes.
trusting in him?
Yep, I believed in him. And there was a, what happened is, I think in the next week, I felt like I walked to Jesus. And after that, I walked for Jesus. That was the big change, is I found, I mean, he just, if you've never felt any love, my whole body, even my big toe, everything was just full of love from him. And I would talk to him day and night. And I always said to him, I don't mind being hungry, but I just need to be loved. And that's what he gave me. The hunger was okay. I could live with the hunger. That was never my problem. It was that I needed somebody to give me the love that I just never had. So it was just, I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I just started, I started talking. I went to school and started talking for the first time. Not that a woman has to talk 10,000 words a day. You know, and I make up for that all the time as it is. And I double it up sometimes. But I just started talking like crazy because I had a, I had life in me. I was dead. I was walking dead. There's a show called Walking Dead.
Yeah, there is.
I was walking dead for 15 years.
And the Spirit of God came into you, made you alive.
Yes, he made me alive.
Can I ask you, I know you said you, so you were invited by friends and into a church there. Was after you found Jesus, did you keep going to that church?
What did it
look like at that point?
It was a Presbyterian church. And Marcia, in fact, this morning, Marcia, Trudy, and I, after 50 years, we went and had breakfast together.
That's amazing.
And we sat and talked about God. And it was so fun. And yes, I started going every week. We had a, in the summer, they had a weekend retreat. I went on the weekend retreat, and oh my gosh, that was a crying session the whole weekend, because it's like I was a person that was blind, and they could suddenly see. A person that was dead could come alive. So it was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Of course, when I went back home, there was no speaking at home, and a lot of abuse. And so you just keep your mouth shut and quiet and become invisible again. And I was so used to that. And poverty was my friend. So within, we skip ahead a few years, and I got married. And I thought, ah, oh, this is going to be great. Well, it was. It was great because I was told by three doctors I couldn't have children. What do God, doctors know anyway? Because 4 years later, I had twins. And 2 years later, I had another child. And the doctors all said, you can't have children. You couldn't have them. You just couldn't. Guess who gave me children? Miracle. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. And so life was great. Life was really, I mean, I had been blessed all over the place. Took the kids to church. They got up on the stage and they would sing El Shaddai. And I was the leader in our little group at church, very active and whatnot. My husband didn't come to church, but I took the kids every Sunday and things were rolling along great until I found myself single, raising three teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I had to work 60 hours a week to pay for rent, mm-hmm. and put food on the table. So here I was. So when I went to bed each night, I would cry, and I would cry telling God how thankful I was to have him. Mm-hmm. I wasn't crying out of please help me, because I knew I could work 60 hours. That was okay. I'd have worked hard on my life. So I could work the 60 hours, and I did work 60 hours a week. I cried because I had never been so blessed in my life. Mm. My kids were close to me. I was alone, but only because I didn't have my husband there with me. He had gone off. And so it was the strength inside of me, and that was God giving me that strength. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have done it. I know I couldn't have done it without him. There was just no back to the thing of if you do try to do it on your own, you're going to get nowhere.
Yeah.
And I had hit that dead end road long ago, and I wasn't about to go down that kind of road again. And so I would just cry every night saying, thank you, God. Thank you for everything, you know. And again, we're just making food by the day, working 60 hours. But my boss let me work 60 hours. And the kids were great. And we just kept rolling along.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and then along came Jimmy, and Jimmy is my husband today. He was raised in a Christian home. His dad died early in life also, but he was raised in a Christian home. And so we got married. He had one daughter. I had three. We raised them, got them out the door, and married. Then we had 16 foster kids, and out the door with them. And then my uncle, who was mentally handicapped from birth, came to live with us and was with us 25 years. And we taught him how to take a bath and how to dress. We taught him how to feed himself. And it was great. We took him everywhere with us.
And he only passed away a handful of years ago?
3 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, 3 years ago he passed away. He died at home. He was a blessing. We were humbled by having him with us. Mm-hmm. We were very fortunate that God had picked us to be with him. And he passed away at home with the Christian music singing. I was holding his hand and telling him, for what he could understand, that he was going to be going to heaven. And that was a place where his mommy and daddy were. And it was a great place. And Jesus is going to take care of him, and for what he could understand, he would always cry because it was always such good news.
Yeah.
Yep. And so when he passed away at home, we were holding him, rocking him when he took his last breath, and I know, yep, he was bound for heaven with that. And
you said you took care of him for 25 years?
25 years. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And best thing ever. And then my mom, my dad had passed away way back when my kids were born, never had told us, my brother and I, that he loved us. My mom still hadn't told us really that she loved us, insinuating maybe she did, but she hadn't told us. And my brother had moved back to Alabama with his wife. And then my mom lived with a mean man. Oh, that wasn't nice to say, but he's a mean man, and he died. But I did talk to him on his deathbed, trying to have him accept Jesus, and maybe he did. Mom was 90 and couldn't live alone, so she came to live with us. And then things were rolling along until 2 years ago when I had my stroke, second stroke. But Pastor Tom thank you for coming up to the hospital. Mm-hmm. He came up to see me in the hospital, and I was doing pretty good. So the hospital, of course, if you can walk at all, even though you have to have somebody help you, and even if you can't talk much, they're going to kick you out. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they wanted to do, and that's exactly what they did. They kicked me out after a couple of days. Within hours, I was in the aid car going to the next hospital because I had become paralyzed on my right side.
From a second stroke?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep, I had become paralyzed, and so I couldn't speak anymore. I was just a bunch of gibberish, and so in the hospital I went. And they determined, yes, you're paralyzed. Yes, okay. And so they put me on IV. I couldn't eat, couldn't talk. I couldn't talk. Aha. And the next few days, this is where the, you know, what hits the fan, I guess, is when you're laying there and you're half paralyzed. And you don't know if you're going to be able to get up and walk or talk. I couldn't eat. And Jimmy was sitting in a chair beside me sleeping because he had to work the next day. My kids had gone home. And I was laying there talking out loud, but not being understood,
mm-hmm.
except in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what I was saying, and of course, Jesus knew what I was saying. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, you know, I don't know if I'm going to stay paralyzed the rest of my life, and that's going to be okay if that's what your plan is. But if you could just, I remember saying, if you could just let me make cookies for the homeless, that would be such a good thing.
Yeah, tell us about that, because I know I appreciate that story. So tell us about your, you know, baking cookies for homeless folks.
Oh, yeah. We had baked cookies for years for the homeless. And special needs is my desire of life, I guess.
Yeah.
And
did that come from your uncle, or was that just... Okay.
Yeah, I think it did. And so we did hundreds of garage sales and would make money for special need families and give it to them. Mm-hmm. We'd make cookies. My mom, when she came to live with us at 90, I told her, Mom, the one thing you have to do every day is you have to make 200 cookies a week. That's what you have to do for the homeless.
That's her rent, huh?
Yeah, I said, yes, because she didn't have any money. And so I said, your job is 200 cookies a week, every week, the rest of your life. And so she said, okay. And I said, don't fail on this. And she didn't. She didn't fail until...
Okay, so let's go... Sorry, I derailed you a little bit because I want to hear that story. But let's go back to you're in the hospital and you're asking God to let you bake cookies.
Yes. And so I asked God to... Hopefully I could bake cookies. So I wasn't scared. This is the funny thing, is laying there and I couldn't move at my side at all. I was laying there and I was just calm as ever, just as if it was another day, because Jesus was right there. And I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't afraid. I was just happy being with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, whatever he wanted for me to do was the best.
Was fine with you. Yeah.
Yes, it was fine with me. And I went to sleep. I said, go ahead and put me to sleep, please, okay? And I went right to sleep. The next day, Jimmy went off to the work from the hospital there, and I was laying there, and my toe, now this is a few days had gone by, and my toe moved.
Mm.
I laid there, and I thought, my toe. And I said, Jesus, did you just move my toe?
Because you didn't feel like you were moving it? It just kind of moved? Or
it just moved.
Yeah.
And my hand, of course, couldn't move, and it was just laying on me. And a little baby finger moved a little bit, and I said, are you, what's happening? You know, and I was still fine with whatever he wanted, but the nurse came in a couple hours later. There was change of shift. When she came in, she said, well, now let's see. Okay, we know that you can't move on your right side. And I said, well, guess what? And she said, what? And I said, Jesus has decided that I'm going to move my body. And she said, what? And I said, Jesus has decided I'm going to go ahead and move. And she said, well, let's see about that. And so I started wiggling my toes, and I could move my hand just a little bit. And I said, look at what Jesus did for me. Because I like to tell people what he can do, not what, you know. And the answer is, you never know whether somebody believes. And that's good when you believe. But if you don't believe, hey, just feel free to ask me some questions. Mm-hmm. I'm right here to tell you how wonderful he is. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, the next couple of days, I got to moving my arm a little bit, not much, but a little bit. But they put me in a walker. I walked, and they said, time to get out of the hospital, because good
they
heavens.
They got you walking.
Yeah, good heavens, you know, you can't occupy a bed again. So away I went and went home. And so when I got home, my mom, back to my mom who was living with us, she had never told me she loved me.
And she had she ever apologized for the way she treated you?
No.
And now she's in her 90s.
She was 90 mm-hmm. at so the time. She didn't like me either. Mm-hmm. That was quite evident. But my brother is a genius. He truly is a genius. And he helped put the space shuttle up and all kinds of crazy, wonderful things. I love my brother dearly. And so did my mom and dad. And that's lucky I had no resentment to my brother. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I sat every day. I would try to pick up a glass. It would, of course, fall and break. After breaking so many things, we switched to plastic, which was good. Mm. But every day, therapy people came to help me. But every day, my mom would sit down and she would practice the ABCs because I couldn't remember the ABCs anymore because I've lost quite a bit of my brain power and or brain intelligence, I guess you'd say. So she would practice with me and she'd say A and then I'd practice A. A is for apple. And we'd go through this routine day after day after day after day. A month later, one day I dropped another glass and it broke. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I went in and sat down and she cleaned up the mess as usual and came in and sat down and she looked at me and she said, I love you, Chrissy. Mm. And it was the first time my mama ever said that to me. And so it was the most wonderful thing. And so I said, I love you too, mama. And I said, I'm so sorry for breaking things. And she said, it's okay, honey. And she said, you always talk about Jesus. And I said, yes, because he is here to take care of me all the time. And he's here to take care of everybody. We got to talking. And he said, I've been talking to Jesus for a long time. Do you think he hears me? And I said, of course he hears you. I said, Mama, you can ask him in your heart and you can tell him you want him to come into your heart and occupy your heart. You give your will over to him and you let him guide you and that he's your personal savior of life. And, you know, confess your sins to him. And she said, oh, I've got tons. And I said, well, you get to do that. You get to confess to him. And I said, and he will not judge you, Mama. My life changed and her life changed.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And amazing.
Oh. Yeah, she thank the Lord that her life changed that day because 6 months later, she got sick, took her in the hospital and brought her home, and I called my brother in Alabama, and him and his wife came out, and the doctor called and said she was going to die. And so we sat down to tell Mama that she's going to be dying now. But she was talking about Jesus all the time now, which was so fun. And of all things, we were sitting there, and my brother said, I'll go ahead, and you want me to tell her? And I said, yes. And so he said, Mom, and then he started crying. So I said, I got this. And so I said, Mom, we want to tell you something. And then I started crying so much. And he said, Chrissy, I got this. so then he started, it's like, oh boy. So then he kept going, and he said, the doctor called to give us the news on your tests. And then again, he started crying so much. I said, brother, I can finish this. And I said, Mama, you only have a little bit of time to live. We're all sitting there. Jimmy is crying and I'm crying. My brother's crying and his wife is crying. We're looking at my mama, who's sitting there looking at us with these big eyes. She looked at us. She didn't cry. She didn't say a word for about, I would say, 15 seconds. And then she flipped her arms up in the air like, whee! And she said, I need to pack my bag. I'm going to heaven. Hooray. And she jumped up and started walking away in her bathrobe. And I'm going, Mom, come back. Come back here. And not a tear was shed. I said, come back here. And she said, what? And I said, you don't have to pack a bag to go to heaven, Mama. Come back here. And she came and sat down and she said, I don't have to pack my bag. And I said, no, you don't. And she said, a toothbrush? And I said, no, you don't have to take a toothbrush. And then Mama passed away. We had her for a few weeks at home, and then she was gone.
How old was she? 93?
She was 93 when she passed away. Yeah. But if anybody said, you have so many things in your life, everybody's got things in their life. But I think at 75, I can look back now. I have the advantage of being old because I can look back and I can see Jesus out there working along. You know, he's trotting beside me and I don't even know it.
Yeah.
And he's with me every second when I don't know it. And today, he had it all planned. He had it all planned for everything. My mom came when she needed to take care of helping me learn to talk and whatnot again. And all of this, you know, happened, and my mom was able to, we were able to have my mom with me for her to tell me she loved me.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm remembering conversations with you during that time, she told you more than once, like she would tell
after
you,
that,
right?
She told me every day.
The floodgates open, yeah.
Every day she would say, I love you. She would, we would be in the kitchen because she's baking her cookies, and she would be in the kitchen working away at her cookies, and I would say, I love you, Mama. And she'd say, I love you, Quizzy. And then I would give her a hug. I always gave her the hug because from where she came from, her world had been terrible too. So she never approached with a hug, but I always gave her a hug every day. And yeah, she made cookies right up to when she couldn't. Yeah.
Chrissy, tell me, tell us about one of the most compelling stories I think of God's grace in your life. I mean, there's many of them, but there was a family that you and Jimmy financially supported because the father and husband got pretty severe cancer, and then there was a pretty significant miracle financially, right?
It was.
And then one of the things that I remember you told me is that Jimmy had, he had either retired or stopped working, and he went back to work.
Yep.
So that he could, they could financially support this family mm-hmm. of five or six. Tell us that story.
Oh, well, we had, my daughter Kimmy was working at the ARC at that time, and that's a company up in Everett, and it takes care of families with special needs. Mm-hmm. And this family, the mother had brought a special needs child, missing an ear and whatnot, brought in the child and another baby and to the door, front door, and she said, "Can anyone help me because I need some milk for my baby?" And Kimmy, my daughter, was the first one to jump out of her seat and rush to the door. "Of course I can." And brought her in, got some milk going, and by the end of that day, had $1,000 in this woman's hand to go out and get some groceries. She calls, Kimmy called me on the phone and said, "Mom, we have a family again," because we had done, like I said before, so many garage sales for mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. families for different reasons. And she said, "We got a family." So right away, we contacted them, went over and saw them. And that reminded me so much of the poverty days. Mm-hmm. There were four kids. There are four kids, husband and wife, living in a one-bedroom apartment in Everett. No beds, no kitchen table, no chairs, no nothing. They just slept right on the floor, each of them with a blanket. And the only light they had on to study was the stove light. And we talked to them for a little while, and my daughter and I left, and we went, "Whoa." And so right away, we whipped a garage sale up and going to start bringing in some money. It was a good time at Christmas, so almond roca time happened because I make almond roca. My daughter has an endless supply of friends that wanted to buy almond roca at Christmas. So we sold $10,000 worth of...
Goodness.
My goodness. That's a lot of almond roca.
Yeah. It was a lot of hours. And we... $10,000, you think, that's a lot of money. But these people had no money. I mean, no food for anything. So we started off with beds, coats, gloves, hats, scarves, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And started getting just the essentials of a bed, a chair, a couch, a table, you know, these kind of things. And so things started to really get put together. And then Juan started not feeling good. That's Daddy. I took Daddy into the doctor, and they found out he had cancer, lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's. And so he had to start having treatments, but he had cancer throughout up in his neck and his chest and his organs and whatnot. And the cancer just didn't want to let go, but it would slowly get a little bit better and then come back again. So my husband had just retired, and I was still working at the time until I had my stroke, and then I had to quit. But Jimmy went back to work because we knew we had to take care of this family. Hmm. What are you going to do, tell a mom and dad and kids? Go.
So that's an amazing grace to me, Chrissy, honestly, to listen to hear that. Jimmy.
Yeah. It just goes just goes so off script from what normal people will
work.
Do.
Like, he's retired, he's not working anymore, and he goes back to work so that you guys can financially. It's not to line your own pockets and, you know, make things better for you necessarily. It's for them. Yeah. It was for the family.
Well,
it's a grace of God.
It was God. It's all about God. It was okay for us. It really was. And so the one weekend when we were over at the Bothell campus, I remember he had gotten sick, gotten a little bit better, but the cancer over a five-year period, we had supported them for 5 years because he couldn't work. He was so sick, and he was going to die. I went to every doctor appointment just so I could understand a lot better. And she had said, no, there's no hope. That's the end. So I had to go home to their house. And strong Christian family, that's what brought them through. That is exactly what brought them through. So we were able to pray together a lot, and it was just the best. And so I had to sit down and tell them, you know, your dad is not doing so good. The doctors have said there's nothing more they can do. Maybe he has a month left. And I looked at the son who was 15, and I said, you'll be the man of the house. And I said, Jimmy and I, which they call us to this day, Grandpa and Grandma, I said, we will support you and take care of you from now on until you kids are grown up. We will take care of you so you will not have to worry about money. Jimmy's going to just keep on working for all the years that it takes. And I said, we'll just take care of you. And so we did a lot of praying, and we said, you know, if there's a miracle, please bring it. Well, wouldn't you know? yes, I come to church on Sunday, and Rose and Lindy and a couple others, which I'm sorry, I can't remember. It was before my stroke, so I don't remember so well. We went in and we sat and prayed for this family. We were looking for a miracle. Well, we prayed. God just wanted to listen to us and go ahead and give us another miracle. So on Tuesday, a call came through to Juan. He was, of course, in bed, very, very sick. And the call said, we don't know who, and to this day, we don't know who. Someone, well, it wasn't us, but someone went ahead and paid the $250,000 for him to have a immune therapy thing done where he would go down to Fred Hutchinson and he would be there and they would take blood out of him, put some stuff in it for like 2 weeks, put it back in. He would either die or he'd get sick or he'd get better. Well, somebody paid it. We have no idea who, but it was paid. They took him right down there because he was so sick. He started getting sicker into the hospital. He went. We thought we were going to lose him. But God, of course, had a different plan. And so he came out. He's fine.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, let's see. This is now 2 years now. He's cancer-free because I go in for the PET scan all the time with him. He's cancer-free. And we just, 3 months ago, we took the last of our groceries over to them and gave him lots of groceries, the last of our monies to them. And he's able to work full time now.
Oh, wow.
And we said, now we're here. We'll be here always for you. And if you need financial help, we don't have extra money, but we can work. Jimmy can go to work. I could mow a lawn or something. And so we
and sling some cookies.
Make some cookies and sell them. And so, yes. So,
yeah, thanks for sharing that story.
My goodness.
Isn't that something what God can do anything?
He really can. Chrissy, I'm sitting here listening. I think I've said less on this podcast than any, which is great. It's just great. I don't need to say anything.
It's a blessing to just listen.
But I talk a lot.
I just got to say, I don't know. It's amazing. A lot of people who would have been through the hard things you've been through, or any one of the hard things you've been through, there'd just be a lot of bitterness, and there's just none of that. And yeah, I just hear a lot of gratitude for what God has done in your heart, and it seems to have just overwhelmed every fiber from your pinky toe to your pinky or whatever. It's just what any situation it seems that's come up that the Lord has put you in. You've said, okay, I trust you with this. Do what you want.
And, you know, I could tell you the reason. And I don't want to get too specific, except that when I found myself single, alone with my kids, my husband went elsewhere. And so I was angry, mad, ready to get the shotgun out and shoot him. after 23 years of marriage. And every night for the first month, I obsessed with, I'm going to tie him to a tree and let a bear eat him. And that's what I would say. I know it sounds funny, but that's a, you know, I kept thinking maybe a bear could eat him. After about a month, I was so obsessed that with revenge, you could say, that God kept saying, and I finally listened to him, and he said, you will never heal. You will never move on in your life. You will never heal until you try to become more like Jesus, which that's what you keep telling me. You want to be more like Jesus, and yet you're holding this revenge, an obsession. You know what I want you to do? I want you to pray for them. And he came through loud and clear. You're going to pray for them? And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. So the next night, same thing. I want you to pray for them. And I said, all right, I'm going to pray for them. I don't like it, but I'm going to pray for them. So I said a prayer for them, and it was a pretty, I don't like praying for you, and I hope a bear eats you, but I prayed for them. The next night, I'm going to do this again, and I don't want to. I hope you know that. And this went on for 2-3 weeks, telling them they had to be tied to a tree and have a bear eat them was no longer. And I wasn't growling when I prayed for them. I was pretty quiet. As time went by, I became happy to pray for them. And I discovered I was healing. Like you said, you know, you seem to take this, all these things that have happened. But I realized a person can't heal inside of them trying to be just themselves. They have to say, Jesus, you died for me on the cross when I, good grief, all the things I've done wrong, and you died willingly and happily for me. And to think that I can't get down on my knees and pray for somebody that has hurt me a little bit compared to what people have done to you. Very humbling. And I found myself, and I do to this day, pray for people, the people. And it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
And my ex-husband and I have a great relationship today. And my kids are so healthy because of it. And we all get together, laugh, and, you know, have a party at birthday times. And my kids always tell me, Mom, I'm so happy. We feel so blessed that you and Dad get along so great.
See, that's amazing to me, Chrissy. Thank you for sharing that, because that's the power of the gospel. Like, yes, the gospel, what God has done for us actually has a, in the hands of the Holy Spirit, has a force to transform our hearts. He transformed you from being embittered and angry and vengeful into forgiving and kind and willing to reconcile and have a good relationship. And the ripple effect into the lives of your children, your adult children now, and your extended families, that's a testimony of the power of God.
Oh, yeah. It's all about God. You know, it's when I wake up in the morning, first thing I always say is, thank you for the day. Thank you for taking care of me every second of the day, not for the day, but every second of the day, because we sure as heck can't do this very well on our own. And help me to be more like Jesus, and help me to do your will, God. And boy, it just turns into a great day right then and there.
Man. Well, that's amazing. I feel like this has just been kind of drinking from a fire hose of God's grace in your life, Chrissy. I know we could talk for hours more about
I know.
But you know what? You're making up for those early years when you didn't talk.
That's it.
The time when you had the stroke and you couldn't talk all that well.
You're probably averaging normal amount of talking.
I'm getting in 20,000 words.
20,000 words.
There's 20. Maybe we'll go towards 25,000 today.
Well, Chrissy, I'll just, how about this? Just as we're kind of signing off here, as we're winding down, what is something that, I don't know, if someone who's listening to this is in a position where they're kind of, they're feeding that bitterness, what would you say to them right now?
I think, you know, I thought to myself, what happens with people that don't have Jesus in their heart? And after I've been through all of this, I think what I'd say to anybody out there is, you know, coming from zero love for 15 years, going through everything that happened to me in my life, loneliness, feeling alone, being alone, there's nothing like it. Starvation is nothing compared to being alone. To have someone that loves you unconditionally and would take and be with you in the middle of the woods if you're alone, if you're lost. And if you think that being bitter for things that have happened in your life, we all go through things in our life. Jesus even says it's going to have bumpy road time. But the end result is, if you do ask Jesus into your heart and acknowledge him as your Savior and ask for forgiveness, ask him to help you become a better person for yourself to start with and for others, I think instead of just walking to Jesus, you'll get to the point that you can walk for him. You'll get to the point that the love he can give you that no man on this earth can give you is going to be something. So get down on your knees. Whoever you are out there, get down on your knees and start to cry and start to ask Jesus to come and help you. And by gosh, he's already right at your side.
Man. Amen.
Thanks for that word of encouragement. I'm sure there are folks who are listening that needed to hear that.
So yeah,
thanks
absolutely.
For sharing from your heart there, Chrissy.
Yeah.
We love having you be a part of the Imprint family.
Absolutely.
The first day I met you, I was like, wow, this gal's got a lot of fire, and she's like looking to serve. She's like, oh, you guys are bringing, you know, clothes for homeless folks, and you just, that was your wheelhouse, and you're like, I want to get going and doing this stuff. So yeah, and ever since then, and so the stroke slowed you down for a little while, but by God's grace you got back and you're motoring again. So.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I just got into the meal train, and
that's
so awesome. I just
so exciting.
Signed up for 5 different slots there, so this is fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, seriously, thank you for your time.
This
was a holy moment listening to you here. If you have any questions for us or for Chrissy or anything like that, I just, feel free to send us an email at podcast@imprintchurch.org. But other than that, we will see you guys next week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.